But going back to what I said about maintenance and production, it wasn't just maintenance that they did. We also were control panels, or built control panels.
Yeah, that's right. I'd forgotten about that. But
mostly at that time, the single mould and the three mould slab plants and accumulator systems. When I went into that department, one of the jobs that I was given straight away by Jack Whitney, so you might as well learn the bad side of it, is what is the good side, he said. And I said, oh, there is going to be some good sides then. And he was a bit of a dour Geordie, was Jack.
Yeah.
But he had an half smirk, but he didn't say anything. But next door to, or sort of, we were between the surgery and the ladies' toilet.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, he said, I got a job for you, Anne Wilfie. He said, it's a regular job. You can do it on a rota basis, week by week or month by month. He said, I don't know, I don't mind which. He said, but you've got to go and repair the bunny burners when they go wrong. Clive Stanley, who was in the department at that time, took us in.
Yeah.
And showed us the ropes and what have you.
Yeah.
But we had a contact with Joyce Shenton before we went in there, to make sure that there were no ladies in there.
Yeah.
They were quite strict on that at that time. And B, to make sure that there were ones in there that weren't burnt.
Right.
So
yeah,
she would have to take them out before we were allowed to do the maintenance on it.
Yeah.
Clive Stanley was in the 1949 intake.
On the maintenance side?
I worked on the maintenance side.
As an apprentice?
Yeah. As an apprentice, yeah. And the last 6 months of my apprenticeship, I was transferred to the electrical design office. Guy was in charge of that, was a guy named Jim Poole. And there was John Tranter.
Oh, yeah.
And Brian Billingham, who were sort of permanently employed in there at that time. Ron Poole, or Jim Poole, sorry, because I know Ron Poole as well, I'm going to mix them. Jim Poole, unfortunately, died of cancer shortly before I came back out of the forces.
Yeah.
So when I came back out of the forces, I went into the electrical department under Les and Ron. Wilf Jenkins obviously came back at the same time because we went almost, birthdays were similar, went almost at the same time. And I didn't then get into the electro design office for about 3 years.
Yeah, presumably to get into the design office, you must have had some qualifications. So were you going to college at this time?
I went to college under very adverse conditions when I started my apprenticeship, as I've already explained. I was biking mainly for 2 years.
Yeah.
I was allowed to go to college 3 nights a week.
Right.
Right.
This was after a day's work.
This was after a day's work.
Yes.
So I'd finish at 5:30, leap on the bike. College started at 7:15.
Yeah.
So basically, I cycled straight up to the college and started lessons at 7:15.
Yeah.
And he used to finish at 9:00.
Yeah.
So I didn't get anything to eat until about 9:30 on those days. But the deal was that if you did that successfully for a year and your results were all right for that year, they would sponsor you to go to college 1 day a week.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I had a tough year
yeah.
on that. On that first year. with going to college. But to answer your question, I did leave college with ONC.
Yeah.
And I'd also done a year of HNC.
Yeah.
When I was called into the army, I was called. I put my name down for REMI. But they sent me to the Royal Electrical Engineers.
Right.
Or Royal Engineers.
Right.
But because of my, I'd done a trade, and had in my indentures, they sent me down to the Royal Military School of Engineering at Chatham.
Oh, all right.
For 6 months.
What did you do there?
Well,
or aren't you allowed to say?
No. I hadn't signed the Official Secrets Act by that time. we did underground cables, overhead lines, bringing multi generators online, synchronising them, bring them on and offline.
Were you involved? There was a place down there that used to make ropes for the Navy.
Yes.
And when that shut, didn't actually shut, it changed over and they were making cables, electrical cables. And they were still doing that down there about, I'd say, 20 years ago. Was it near there?
I was at Brompton Barracks, which was immediately behind there.
Oh, right.
And
we used
to have to march off down to the School of Engineering, which was about a quarter of a mile away from the river. So if you imagine where the cable went, or rope works as it was, alongside the Medway.
Right alongside Chatham, the river, yes.
Chatham Dockyard.
Yeah.
Their perimeter on the backside from the river
was
the perimeter of our Brompton Barracks as well. So, we were
and
just spitting distance.
Just up the road from that cable works, because I went there just before it was closing down. It's probably about 20 years ago, because they were going to move kit to somewhere else. I can't remember where now. We didn't get the job. But just up the road from that cable works, there was a very old pub. And I can't remember the name of it. It was a bit of a dive, but that must have been quite close to where you were.
It was. I can't remember the name of the pub, but it was universally known as the Garrison Pub.
Right.
Because Chatham was a garrison town.
Yeah, yeah.
Interestingly, that was predominantly used by soldiers.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was another one nearer the town
that
was used by sailors and wrens.
Oh,
because the wrens had a depot down as well.
Yeah,
so,
So you were obviously down there for quite some time. I think we've gone off track again. I think we'd better get back to
the belt of HNC.
Yeah,
they allowed me to take the HNC
exam.
Right,
that's good.
So I came out of the forces with the ONC and the HNC.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good qualification, and it's obviously very useful. So did you go back into, you went back into the drawing office after?
No, I came back out of the army, and I spent about 3 years with the electrical department, but more and more I was building control panels for various presses, and particularly for the accumulator systems, because they were having some big orders. I think there was about 11 H3 pumps on the RIF Birtley order.
Right.
Don't remember that one?
No, I don't. I did, when I was in Hydraulic 2, I did build a couple of accumulators.
Some of them just had a couple of pumps, but quite a few of them had five or six or more. And I used to build the control panels for you know, the contactors that used to start the pumps.
Yeah.
And then you'd have the capacitive level probes in the accumulator.
Yeah.
To tell you which various levels it was.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
controlled the pumps from there and whatever yeah. you through the panel. And the same with the slab presses.
Yeah.
And I ended up going out and commissioning these things as well.
What, the slab presses?
Yeah.
Oh, so did I.
Did you?
I used to build them in hydraulic too. And
yeah, along with Johnny Mabbott and Pete Wood.
Pete Wood, Keith
yeah.
Williams.
Keith Williams,
I was in contact, I'm going off track now. Yeah. I was in contact with Keith Williams 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because we've got his email address on our contact list now with the archives. And I spotted his email address. So I sent him an email. And he came back and he said, sorry I didn't get back to you, because it was a couple of weeks later he replied. And he said, I'm out in South Africa installing a single mould press.
Oh.
And that was just a few weeks ago. He said, we're just about to go and have a barbie and a couple of beers. And I haven't heard from him since, but he's obviously, whether that's a second-hand press that he's installing or whether it's, there are still people making presses now, whether it's one of those, I don't know. But so...
My introduction to away commissioning work was... one Friday evening, about half an hour before we were due to clock off, Bill Meadows, who was the works manager at that time, I think he was, sent for me and went down the office, and he said, I've got a job for you, lad. And I said, oh, right, what, tomorrow? You know, what do you want to do? No. He said, I want you to go now.
So
I said, all right, you get your tools together, he said, and your overalls. He said, so-and-so will run you up the station. And he said, someone from Cowley Concrete will meet you at Oxford.
Oh, right.
And take you up to the plant. So yes. I was nearly knocking off time. He said, look, this is a very important customer. There's a order coming up for a couple more plants from them.
Oh, right, yeah.
And he said they've been shut down all day on this particular press, and Lou is in production. I want it sorted.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I will do on the understanding that, because I wasn't on the phone in those days and I was still living on the street. I said, I will do on the understanding that you get Jim Walker or John McKeelson. Do you remember him?
No.
He was in Dutchman in the DDO, lived in Stroud as well. I said, get either one of them to agree to call into my wife and tell her where I am, and that I don't know what time I'll be up. Anyway, I got picked up at Cowley. They took me straight up to the plant. Took me about half an hour to find out what the problem was. But then it was actually a limit switch that was misbehaving. But it took me half hour to chisel all the concrete off. For actually getting the lid to disconnect it and change it. So, but... fair dues to them, got them back into production, stayed there an hour to make sure everything was all right, and they ran me back home to Stroud.
Oh, right, brilliant.
So, you know, I got home about half past 11 in the,
So that was your first...
And from there on in, I got called on to go away on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It makes
life interesting when you're doing that.
Yeah.
So fault finding as well. If you found it in half an hour, that's pretty good going. I can remember a job I was on. It took me
Remember, I spent half of my apprenticeship building the control panels and wiring them up.
ideal bloke to go. Yeah.
So, yeah, I did know what was what.
Yeah.
And in the same vein, I got called on lots of times by Bill Meadows, and so did Frank Bullock.
Yeah.
Because if they had a problem with any of the ROF sites,
yeah,
in particular, the one we used to end up at a lot was ROF Patricroft in Manchester.
Oh, right, yeah. I don't know that one. I know some of the others.
Well, there was Bridgewater as well.
Yes, but I know that
and
one.
The Blue Streak, and that's a different story.
Yeah.
But because we were National Service, ex-National Servicemen,
yeah,
right. We got our military numbers.
Yeah. So they could use
They use that to vet you when you went in.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I got quite involved with ROF at Bridgewater just before it shut down. And in fact, we built a large plant that Phil was working for. Built a large plant. It was supposed to go into Bridgewater, but it went into South Wales instead because they shut down Bridgewater. And there's an ROF plant which is tucked away in a valley, and you wouldn't know it was there. Can't remember which valley it is. It's not far from Pontypool. Yeah.
Pontypool.
Yeah.
Oh, crikey. Yeah, I know.
Yeah. So.
Nine-line spinners used that would be.
They did. It's up the valley from there.
There.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Tucked away. Yeah. So, by this time, you were still on the shop floor.
I was still on the shop floor.
But then you moved on.
Getting more and more involved in building control panels and testing them and what have you. I had one break from that. It was when they decided to move the craft school.
Oh, right. Oh, up onto above the light machine shop, is that
right? That's right. Right, yeah. And Brian Billingham and myself and Clive Stanley got the job of laying it out where Bert wanted his machines and what have you, and putting on the power supplies and put it in the lighting and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And I think we spent about 6 months on doing that.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah.
Then the rest of us spent 6 months up there working all the stuff you put in.
Yeah, it wasn't long after that Bert retired and Barry Degg took Bert's place in running the...
Yeah.
And Bob Wilson as well.
Sorry? Bob Wilson as well, yeah. I don't remember Bob too much, but Barry Degg I knew quite well because he was in my intake.
Oh, right.